I am Jeff Luther, and the host of your new favorite podcast, The Inspector Alliance. This is where we'll peel back the curtain and get behind successful service industry businesses to see just what makes them tick. We're going to focus around the home inspection business. That's what I've built. I've owned it for a little over 20 years now. But we'll also include other service businesses that might parallel ours so we can learn more. And with the more we know, the better off we are, right?
All right. Welcome back. Another episode of the Inspector Alliance. And if you remember, we were going to do every other episode was going to be a technical episode. Every other episode would be a business episode. So I'm doing one about business, not about my business exactly, but it'll follow along in those lines of business. So I am a member of a business group. Entrepreneurs Organization, EO, is what it's affectionately called. We have our own little forum. Well, we had our forum meeting yesterday, so this is a pretty timely message. The whole point of this, if you get nothing else out of it, the whole point is to find a mentor or find a business group, different than a networking group, but find a group, find a mastermind group, somebody where you have a think tank you can bounce things off of. To help you grow. As entrepreneurs, we get kind of caught up in what we're doing, what we think is right. You know, you read every business book tells you that in this book is the solution to all your problems. Every self-help book, this is all you need is this one self-help book, and here you're going to find the solution to all your problems. In our business, we always think that we're doing the right thing. But how do we see where we need to improve? And I'll put it this way. Nobody gets up every day and says, today I'm going to be mediocre. Today when I have a tough decision, I'm not going to make the best one. Today when I have to put in a heavy effort, I'm going to half-ass it. Nobody gets up thinking they're going to do their worst. A sociopath. Now, all right, so that's different, but that's not what we're talking about. Everybody gets up thinking they're making the best decision, thinking they're doing the best, thinking they'll put their best foot forward, thinking they'll make that tough effort, thinking they're going to give 100%, right? But how do we find our blind spots? As entrepreneurs, we're not accountable, right? So finding a mentor, a business group, somebody that can ask you those tough questions or hold you accountable. We all get up and we think that we're doing our best or we're going to do our best. A business group or a mentoring group or a mentor is different than a networking group. Like a networking group would be BNI, PowerCore, something along those lines. Somebody, it's a group where you have folks that either want you to do business with them or you want to do business with, or both. It's reciprocity. Whereas like EO is just about entrepreneurship. It's about personal. It's about personal and the things that revolve around that. Your family, your business, your personal life, your health, all of those things. But we had our monthly forum meeting yesterday, and our forum is a small group, and it's different than the chapter, but it's our cohesive small group. We meet every month, and the way that forum works, the way the format works, is there's 6 or 8, 10 groups in a forum, sometimes as small as 4, but you do your update. You know, what happened the last 30 days, what you're looking forward to the next 30 days, what the best was, what the worst was, what you're not looking forward to, and what you're excited about. And it's broken down business, health, and business, family, personal, and kind of a 30-day reflection. And then one member of the group has a presentation on an issue they may have. That can be a personal issue, it can be a health issue, a family issue, something they want help or support from the group on, or at least they want the group to opine. Help them see their blind spot, or maybe even look for a solution. Usually it is a business issue, sometimes personal, sometimes family, sometimes health. But the point of this is you give your presentation and then the group asks really hard questions. Remember, we're talking about how do you see your blind spots? Because I think it's right doesn't mean it is, and because I think it's right doesn't mean that you may think it's right. So then the group asks those tough questions. You do what you think is right, but how do you know it's right? So in this conversation in our group, and now there's a strict confidentiality agreement, but in the conversation, the idea of culture came up. And there was no issue around culture, but it happened to be a topic that got tabled. Now, culture, so you think about culture. Culture is built by the people in an organization, right? Or by the people in a community, or by the people in a social setting, whatever you want to call it, by the club. But in our organization, culture is built and maintained by the people in the organization. So you kind of let it go on its own, right? But if you ask a tough question, like who is accountable for culture, that kind of lends a reflection on a business. Very few businesses have someone that's actually accountable for culture. Usually the leaders are accountable for culture, but we don't really define it that way. At least in my experience, it's not really defined that way. So asking these tough questions makes us think about what we're doing, makes us think about if what we're doing is right. What are we doing? Is it right? Is it the right thing? Is there a better way to do it? We do things in our businesses because we think they're right. We want the business to be successful. We want to help our folks, usually. That's what we do. Most of the people that I've, in the circle I'm in, they want to help the folks, help the people in the business. But we do what we think is right for all of those things. And sometimes we operate off of assumption, right? We're assuming that what we're doing is right. We assume also that everyone in the organization knows what we know. I went to a Disney Institute course. Oh gosh, it's been 10 or 12 years. But in one of the exercises, they actually broke us up into small groups. I think there were 12 of us, and we all stood up and we were separated at arm's length to the front, arm's length out to the side. And then of course, arm's length to the back, because the person behind us was putting their arm out. And then we had to communicate. The first person in the group had to get a message to the third person. The first row in the group had to get a message to the third row in the group. Now we're five rows. First row had to get a message to the third row. And then the third row had information that had to be coupled with the information coming from the first group, and then get it to the fifth group. And it was all nonverbal. So they had different cues and they had different cards where you could hold the card up, and they knew on the back what it meant. So you would hold this card up like a bird meant, I can't remember what the bird was now, but a bird had a word on the back of it. Now you weren't allowed to show the back of you, so you could show the bird. Well, we all had different cards with different meanings. So the bird for one group might mean monthly, and then the bird for the second row might mean weekly, and then the bird for the third row might mean quarterly. So we all assumed that everybody had the cards. They didn't tell us any of this stuff. They just said, hey, you got to get your message to the fifth row. So we're all holding up these cards trying to communicate. Nobody even knew what we were talking about. It was a complete disaster. And that's a lot of times how organizations operate, where the people at the top have all the right cards, right? Or that's where you start. But the people at the top have all the right cards. And as we trickle down through the organization and we try to get our message out to everybody, they have different cards. We don't know that theirs is different than ours. They don't know that ours is different than theirs. So we operate off of assumption. That's what, going back to culture, we know in our minds as business owners what we want our culture to be, or what the idea of culture is, but maybe we don't convey that. Tough questions I've heard asked before is, what are your core values? And the owner or the leader, the manager, whomever it is, they can spit off the core values. Then you say, does everyone in your organization know the core values? I don't know. And if you think of a business owner is going to answer that question, that does everybody in your organization know your core values? And they say, I don't know. What do you think? You think the people in the organization know the core values? I'm guessing it's a no. So anyway, so that exercise at Disney Institute was very eye-opening, and it made me realize that we operate off the assumption, and a lot of times we do that in an organization. So when we're asked who's accountable for culture, then we start to think, okay, well, if no one's accountable, then how do we drive culture? So what we learn is that the folks in the organization, they actually want to be involved. They want to know. And sometimes we think that they don't, or sometimes we do operate off assumptions. So they want to be more involved. No one wants to do the wrong thing. Remember what we just talked about. Remember that piece where we wake up every day and think we're going to do the right thing, or think we're going to make the best decision, or think we're going to make the hardest effort? Nobody wants to do the opposite of that, generally speaking. So they may be doing the wrong thing and they don't even know it. They think that they're doing the right thing. So all of those things are important. Now, this came out of one question about culture in my forum yesterday. So we could have a whole segment on accountability, who's accountable for culture, on culture itself, on doing the right thing, on employee involvement, how they do or don't want to be involved. That's the beauty of a business group or a coach or a mentor. A mentor or a coach, they're probably just as equipped to ask those hard questions. But when you have a group of business owners going around and asking one person specific questions on one issue or one topic, it's amazing the different perspectives that you have on that one issue. Like someone may say, you know, it's important to have a meeting on culture every quarter or every month or every week. One person may say, you know, it's important to have these values that drive culture and check on the values. And if you maintain the values, then culture will come as a natural byproduct. But that having that mentor or that business group or that coaching or whatever you choose, is a really fantastic way to get different perspective and to have an outside lens looking in on what you're doing in your business. But of course, when you have a group of six entrepreneurs, there can also be a downside, right? It's like herding cats. It's like these driver personalities, all kind of type A controlling, and what they do is right all the time. And trying to get an entrepreneur to be quiet is definitely a futile exercise. So there's that too. And then, you know, a coach, I say that a coach is only getting one perspective theirs, but you think about a business coach, they may be coaching multiple businesses, so they have experience across the spectrum. Maybe not even in an industry that's similar to ours, or maybe even in businesses that are drastically different, but have that common human element. So business networking groups, mastermind groups, and I was a member of a mastermind group in the home inspection business. It's been years ago. But I think there were 10 or 12 companies all across North America, and they were some of the sharpest people I've ever had the privilege to be in a room with. And that can be a little bit intimidating. So keep that in mind. Learn from my lesson when you're intimidated. If you're ever the smartest person in a room, one, check yourself. Make sure that you're really the smartest person in the room. And I know it happens from time to time, but there's usually value to be gleaned from any room. But if you're the smartest person in the room, find a different room. Seriously. And then also, when you're in a situation like the situation I was in that mastermind group with the inspectors, it was very hard for me. It was very intimidating. A lot of the folks in there were probably 10, 15 years more evolved in their business than I was. They were arguably smarter. But I always had something to offer. I always had a different perspective, and they were always receptive, always open, and always genuinely kind. So if you find yourself in that position, try to learn from my lesson that being quiet doesn't help anybody, and at best hurts you. And people can always learn from things that you've done. Just getting where you are, whatever that may be, just getting to the point where you want to listen to a podcast about building your business, that lends to some degree or some level of success. So there's accomplishment there, and people can always learn from that. So what do they do? What does a business group do, or a coach do, or a mentor do? You know, it's a think tank. it's an opportunity for my business group. It's an opportunity to be with like-minded people that share the same ideas, have the same goals, have the same objectives, and a way to bounce off ideas for what we think is right. And what I like to explain for my forum is it's a place as a business owner where you can go share your wins and commiserate your losses. And I don't mean that negatively, but as a business owner, you have a windfall profit. Say you have a really fantastic month, or you have a big win, you get a new contract. Well, a lot of folks that are working in a kind of a 9-to-5 salary position, that sort of job, they can't identify with that. So you feel a little bit braggadocious when you talk about it. Or maybe even you get comments back like, you know, oh, you're a business owner. Yeah, you're leaving money in bags everywhere you go, right? I think some of us have heard that. But it's a place to go share those wins. And it's also a place to go commiserate those losses. Because you have a loss, a lot of times you don't want to share that with the people that you're closest to. You don't want to burden them with the thought. You don't want to put them in any kind of pain or under stress or under duress. But also we know as entrepreneurs, it's part of it. I say, hey, fail fast and relearn. Go out there, give yourself an opportunity to fail, do it fast, and figure out what you did, and don't fail again. Don't fail the same way. Figure out what you did and how to make it right. But as an entrepreneur and in what I consider the normal world, that 9-to-5 world, one failure can be catastrophic. So you constantly get asked about it, and it's hard to make that push to go past it when people constantly want to revisit it. I lost that contract with such and such. And then every couple of days they're asking, you know, if you lose a big contract, that's a big deal. And we wear that. And every couple of days they're asking, well, how's it going with that contract? Did you get that contract back? Could be, you know, your wife, your partner, your friend, your brother, sister, sibling, parents, anybody, because they're concerned about you, right? So they want to know how things are going. So sometimes we try to save ourselves from that pain and also save others. How do they work? Usually a larger group, broken out into smaller groups. They usually have them segmented into smaller groups like Vistage or Tech. I think Tech Talk or one of those other communities, GoBundance, EO, any of those usually have a large group, either regionally, state, chapter, local, and then you're broken out into your smaller peer group, so you can get that connection, you can get that cohesiveness, and you have the same familiar faces that you're meeting with monthly. And where do you find them? Vistage, EO, you can search your industry, you can ask peers that you've worked with before what they might be doing for a business group or for coaching. There's all kinds of mentorship programs. A lot of folks, even through the SBA or other entities, they, you know, folks that are getting on in their business and they're starting to kind of cut back on their business and not put so much effort into the growth of their own business. They got really good people in place to do that for them. They find themselves with a little more time, and they may start volunteering as mentors. That would be ideal, especially for those of us that are in a place where we're kind of trying to figure out that next step. Can we afford coaching? Not afford coaching? How much can we invest in coaching? And don't forget that coaching is always an investment. It is not an expense. But finding those folks out in the industry, that's like free money. That's like a gift. So you might be able to find mentors out in the industry that can work with you and have an incentive to drive your business, but then also do it at a very discounted fee. It has helped me immensely. I've done several different programs over the years. I can't tell you which one would work best for you. I don't even know which one worked best for me, but I know just doing it, having that extra layer of accountability, and then also having that think tank or that soundboard, learning from the experience of others. And I can tell you, it is so fulfilling to listen to folks that have issues that come up and it be something that resonates with me. And I can say, hey, I had that happen. Let me tell you what I did. And it might not be right, but I can tell you my experience. I had that happen, and this is what I did, and this was the outcome, and it was terrible. I don't know what I could have done different to make the outcome great, but my choice ended up being bad, and I thought it was the right choice. So it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to get that silver bullet, but it may help you avoid some of the pitfalls along the way so you can keep fighting a little easier. I really hope this has been helpful. The business networking group, the business group has been amazing for me. And again, I don't want to confuse it with a networking group like BNI, PowerCore. Those things work great for some folks. But this is in an instance where you have a business group that you're not necessarily interested in doing business together. You're learning more about growth, both business and personal growth. It's about growth and development. So I hope this has been great. Can't wait till next time to chat with you guys. If you like what you hear, just click that like button down there at the bottom, follow along, and we'll see you next time.